So you're good at this.
I'm just nasty.
That emoji where you're sticking your tongue out in an angry way. What? How do you spell that?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Welcome to the second hour, the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinair, and it is Thursday, August 17th. And since it's Thursday at 11, it means it's time for public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who joins us every Thursday to answer your questions about health and also to go through some health headlines. And we have a lot today. We also have you for not two segments, but three segments, so extra long. I was thinking about it. I was like, ooh, an extra long cervix. That sounds like a weird...
is that a condition, it's Dr. Lyerly? It is a thing?
Well, it's actually what happens when you're giving birth is, like, you, instead of, like, a... You can probably explain it better than I can as far as how you... It gets wider, I guess, instead of longer.
I'm enjoying your hand motion.
I know. I'm not. Anyone who's listening to this is like, what are you talking about? But if I could show you with my hands.
Could be taffy, be a cervix.
There's a soundbite for tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. But if you have questions for the doctor, feel free to text or call them in 844-967-2789. How are you?
I'm great. And to answer your question, yes, the length of the cervix when we're evaluating somebody who's in labor, we evaluate the dilation or how open it is. We evaluate how long the cervix is. And then we evaluate the station or where the baby's head is in the birth canal. And we do that all just with an exam.
There you go. So there is a long cervix.
Look what we learned again today.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's just jump into it because there's a lot of different headlines that we're going to get to today. So the first one you sent me, and people should be aware of, that the FDA warns against using certain at-home pregnancy, ovulation, and UTI tests because they are faulty?
Well, we don't really know.
Yeah.
What we know is that the manufacturer of these tests has notified the FDA that they are no longer making the tests and they're no longer providing support for the tests. So the FDA is just putting this information out there so that people know that if you do, and then they list like 15 different tests, including the one-step pregnancy test, the diagnosis, one-step ovulation test. I mean, there's just a long
there's a
list
lot.
Here. Yeah. So these tests, these at-home tests may be faulty. And if you have one of these tests at home and you're relying on the results of these tests, I mean, that's why you take it.
Yeah.
You're probably going to want to find a different option, a different test to take.
And so we will put all of the names of those tests in the show notes today in case you are at home wondering whether or not you should throw out the tests that you have because they may or may not be accurate. So I guess, do you have a brand that you usually recommend when it comes to at-home testing?
No, because the tests that are on the shelf are FDA approved. They should be accurate. So, I mean, take whatever test you find to be the least expensive. And, you know, if you need to take another test, take another test.
That's actually, it's like, as far as there's no reason to pay the extra money. Unless it's one of these that are getting basically recalled.
But some people feel like if they pay the extra money, they're going to get a better test. So there's like a placebo effect that makes you feel a little bit more secure in the test result. And that's how they get away with charging you for extra money for their tests.
But is that really, I mean, because I think about that all the time, because there's always the brand name, like there's NyQuil and then there's the Walgreens thing. And they always put them right next to each other. And there is that moment of like, well, is Walgreens just like a little bit cheaper? Like it's just not as effective. But is there anything to prove that it's not?
It's the same ingredients.
Yeah.
You could probably hold both. I mean, it's going to depend on the actual thing that you're looking at. But if you hold both of those bottles up and look at the ingredients on the back of the bottle, they are likely to be either exactly the same or very similar. And it's the active ingredient that you want to make sure is the same. If the active ingredient is the same, buy the cheaper option. Why spend the extra money?
That's so funny. And so it is really just our brains thinking that more expensive means better.
Mm-hmm.
And generic is worse.
Which is so, yeah, well, that's a good thing to know. So you're looking for, when you're looking and comparing, as long as it's the same active, it's the same active drug and also the same percentage of the active drug.
That's important too.
Okay. So then, and then once you've figured that out, you can save yourself the couple bucks.
Yeah. I mean, I would start with the cheaper option. If you find that the cheaper option isn't working for you and you want to try the more expensive option, then sometimes we have to do a little experimenting for ourselves. Yes. You know, there are people, especially like with thyroid medication, levothyroxine, which is thyroid replacement. There are people who are really sensitive to the type of thyroid replacement. So I'll typically start with levothyroxine. And if they, if that doesn't work for them, there are other alternatives out there. But, you know, it's just a matter of figuring out what your needs are and what feels right to you, and working with your healthcare professional, your trusted healthcare professional, to figure it out.
And so, as going back to the test, though, so as far as if we people should toss them, if they have any of these specific tests, buy a new test, anything else people should know?
Yeah. If you're having a, if you have an adverse reaction to anything really, or a side effect that you think is important to report, the FDA has a program called the MedWatch program. You can do it on your computer. You can do it on your phone. You just plug in the information about the medication or the test that you've used and you report it. And that's how we get a lot of the information that we have. It's crowdsourced, you know, it's from all of our individual experiences. And then the FDA can look into that and figure out whether something should be removed from the market or if there are additional concerns that they ought to be taking a look at. So you can make a difference.
So that's the FDA's MedWatch program. All right, we'll put that in the show notes as well. Anything else on that topic? Otherwise, we'll move on to the next headline that is kind of depressing, but also probably something women in Wisconsin should know.
We totally need to talk about this next headline because it's really important.
So, new study shows that alcohol-related deaths among women growing faster than among men. And the so basically the gender gap between men and women dying from alcohol is getting smaller, which we don't, this is not the equality that we were asking for.
No, there'd be different equalities we would rather have than this.
But yeah, this was
right. And to be clear, men are still dying at three times, triple the rate of women from alcohol-related deaths.
So let's talk a little bit more about like what's changed. Why is this happening?
Well, the theory is that it's about marketing, like we were just talking about. It's targeted marketing campaigns that glamorize alcohol. I mean, I'm sure you've seen it. Listeners, I'm sure you've seen all of the cute t-shirts on Etsy about how it's wine time or, you know.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Like,
right. It's time to start drinking. And, you know, binge drinking in women, especially in educated, middle-aged, high-income women, has increased remarkably. And that's what this data is reflecting.
But there was also something as far as what the, how our body processes alcohol. And it's different because we have generally a higher fat percentage and just the,
I mean, it's hard to say, isn't it? Like we have higher fat.
Well,
we do.
Is it? I mean, I don't know. Yeah. But I think it's just like, that's just how we're made up.
Hard
like,
to say.
Can't we just attribute that to breasts? Yeah. I would just put it all on breasts.
Well, I don't know when I'm not pregnant, if I can really put it on my breasts. But yeah, so it's basically from 2018 to 2020, alcohol-related mortality rates for women jumped nearly 15%. Men's also rose, but it rose under 13%. And I would be interested to see how much, because it's, this is on, we talked about this earlier this week with John Plagman, who started Section Yellow up in near you in Green Bay. And the fact that I feel like anything that ever has to do with drinking, you like times it by X when we talk about it in Wisconsin. And so it'd be interesting to know how much this is also this, because this was researched nationally, but how much of this is either as bad or worse in Wisconsin for Wisconsin women?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, you're right. This is U.S. data, but we know that we have a giant drinking problem because it's so deeply linked to our culture here in Wisconsin. And again, it's about binge drinking. It's not about having a glass of wine or a beer, but it's about three glasses of wine or three beers. And, you know, to your point earlier about having a higher fat content, yeah. And we don't have as much alcohol dehydrogenase as men do.
What is that?
So this, it's the enzyme that breaks alcohol down. So it takes us longer to metabolize it. And we have less body water too, by the way. So it takes us longer to metabolize that alcohol. So it sticks around in our body. And that's why we tend to have more, a higher impact from a lower amount of alcohol.
Got it. Okay. And so what do we do about this? Is it just coming back to, because actually in the article that I read about it, it was interesting because when you say it's the advertising, it was the same thing with tobacco. During like women's lib and the like 60s and 70s, right? As far as like that was a sign of a free liberated woman was.
You've come a long way, baby.
Yeah, that you can have your own cigarettes.
Right. Yep.
Gross.
And so.
That is how they market it though. Like, you know, if you're wealthy, if you want to live a luxury lifestyle, if you need to reduce your stress, have a glass of wine.
Yeah. And so is it just about like what would you recommend as far as just knowing how to watch your drinking?
Yeah, I mean, find other ways to do those things and disconnect that. Don't buy into what they're telling you. You know, drinking a glass of wine does not make you more special than you were before you drank the glass of wine. If you need to reduce your stress, go for a walk. You know, call your friend who you can just, you know, talk to and it makes you feel better. There are so many other things you can do. Alcohol is often not the answer. And that doesn't mean that you can't drink alcohol. And every once in a while, you can have more than a few. But you can't do it every day. So just be really thoughtful. You know, often women who are drinking too much don't realize that they're drinking too much because it's just become part of their normal pattern. So just being introspective and looking at what you're doing and adjusting to suit not only your lifestyle, but your health.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Dr. Kristen Lierley will still be here for public service announcement when we come back. If you have any questions for her, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Didn't feel just right. She had fever all day and chills at night.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are in our weekly segment of public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lierley. We wanted to end our last segment talking about the women's increased use of alcohol. Reminding you that if you need help, you can always dial 988, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you're in crisis, whether it's you're thinking of suicide, you are having an issue with substance abuse or alcohol, 988 is always there. So don't hesitate to call 988. They can help you get into a treatment center. They can help you plug into what you need to get better. So I didn't want to leave that segment without offering something for people who might be looking for that next step.
I'm sorry. And it's been really successful too, hasn't it, Dr. Lierley? I mean, since it was instituted, this 988 hotline.
Super successful and heavily, heavily utilized. It has been a really important resource. I mean, we all know that depression and anxiety levels are through the roof in our country right now as we're trying to figure out, you know, how to continue to recover from COVID and how to find this path forward in this complicated environment that we're finding ourselves in. So 988 is something that we all need to be aware of.
Absolutely. Well, another not great news, but not only are women drinking more, but cancers, especially gastrotumors, are rising among Americans under 50, including young millennial women. So what's the story behind this, Dr. Lyerly?
It's related.
Is it? Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, okay, first of all, this study that came out that showed that young people are getting cancer at higher rates. Don't get your health news just from headlines. You need to look below the headline to understand it. So this is a population cohort study. They looked at a bunch of publicly available information, and they saw that there were some trends there. And the trends were that overall younger people are getting cancer at earlier ages, especially women, not so much men, but especially women. And most of these cancers are breast cancers, but also uterine cancer.
Really?
Interestingly. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it can be directly linked to our rising levels of obesity and inactivity.
Mm.
Because this is like a whole chain of information. So women who are obese and tend to have periods that are irregular. We've talked about this on the show in the past. Irregular periods, when your body doesn't have that normal, like, build up the tissue and then shed the tissue where you get normal periods. When your body is just building tissue, and it's not getting that normal hormonal signal to shed, that's when you can start seeing abnormal cells start to develop inside the uterus. And that's when uterine cancer can occur. And I can tell you, in my practice, I'm seeing more uterine cancer at earlier ages.
Really?
People don't know. Yeah, people don't know that it's not okay to have abnormal periods. And abnormal periods might even mean not having regular periods. You know, I've had young women present who have no periods at all. And they're like, it's great. I love not having a period, but it's not safe. It's not okay. It puts you at risk for cancer. It puts you at risk for unplanned pregnancy. And if your periods are not normal, we need to have a conversation about how we can manage that.
That is super interesting. And I always had thought of not having a normal period more associated with being underweight. I didn't realize that it's also something that can happen with being overweight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The bottom line is you should have a normal, regular period unless you are taking a medication or you have an IUD or something to prevent you from having heavy bleeding or bleeding at all. So if you are just au naturel and you're not having normal periods, please go talk to your doctor, because it really does put you at risk, not only for cancer, but also if you're underweight and you're not having normal periods. Why is that? Well, is it because you don't have enough estrogen in your body? And if you're young and you don't have enough estrogen, then you're not building bone. And that puts you at risk for developing osteoporosis later in life. So there are so many things that are tied to, you know, things as simple as having regular periods that we just don't think about. And God forbid we talk about them in normal society.
Seriously. and isn't that too, Dr. Lyerly, one of the reasons, to put women on the pill is to help regulate irregular periods.
Yeah, 100%. I've seen many women, even women who have like strong Catholic beliefs, for example, where they are opposed to using contraception, but they come in and they're having irregular periods. And we have a conversation about how this is not contraception. This is hormonal management. So I almost wish they wouldn't call, like, there would maybe be another birth control pill that would be marketed not as a birth control pill, but as hormonal management, so that people could feel better about taking this medicine, because maybe they're not taking it for contraception. Maybe they're using it to manage heavy periods or painful periods or irregular periods. I mean, our periods are really a vital sign for us. And if it's not a normal vital sign, we do need something to get it back to where it's supposed to be.
Well, one of the things that kind of, we didn't have this on our outline, but one of the things I wanted, because when the word obese comes up, I still think that there's a conversation as far as, like, you can look overweight but be healthy. And, like, where is the line between those two things? Because I feel like obesity and that being an indicator for so many other health outcomes is a leading indicator. But also, bodies come in all sizes. And so I'd love to come back and talk about that. But then we're also going to talk about the inverse of these rising cancer rates in younger people. Could be, with just 11 minutes of exercise, apparently, could be fended off. And then also we'll end on a pig kidney. coming to you soon, potentially. If you have a question for Dr. Lyerly, 844-967-2789. She'll still be here through the next segment for a public service announcement. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and we'll be right back. Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and this is our Thursday segment, public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. If you have any questions, we had her for 15 more minutes, so you can text it in, you can call it in, 844-967-2789. But I know you wanted to say one more thing about our last topic on rising cancer rates of younger people, especially younger women.
Two things. The first thing was, do you know what the greatest rise in incidence, the cancer that was the fastest growing in young people? Can guess what it was?
Not uterine, not breast cancer.
I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Appendix. It was appendix cancer.
What?
The incidence rose by 15%. Yes, it was a lot.
What? How are you getting cancer in something that you don't even need?
Well, you know, and that's the question. So when these kinds of studies come out, they give you all of this information and then you pick through it and you go, okay, now what kind of specific study do I need to do? So do they need to do a study where young people get like opportunistic appendectomies? So if I'm going in to fix somebody's ovarian cyst, do I just automatically take out their appendix so that they can't get appendix cancer in the future? You know, those kinds of things. Like, it really changes the way we suggest screening, and we do a lot of other research and focus our, you know, dollars and resources. So that's the kind of study that this is. This is not a study that should make every person under 50 go, oh my God, I'm going to die from cancer at a really young age. No, just be smart. Eat a healthy diet. Exercise regularly. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Get sleep. Sleep is so important. And if you're not sleeping well, there are ways that you can investigate your sleep to figure out whether there are opportunities like, you know, breathing things or comfort things in your rooms or bad habits that you've picked up, like looking at your phone until you go directly to sleep because that light stimulates your brain.
I don't know anyone who would do that, Dr. Lyerly.
Certainly not my husband.
No.
Yeah. Does anybody not do that?
I know.
That's always the last.
Does anybody not take their phone into the bathroom with them to keep them occupied? Jane, do you do that?
Now I do. It's with me. It's my husband calls it my third arm. My phone is with me wherever I go. It's my life.
So we're going to get to healthy lifestyle in just a second, but I also wanted to tackle this topic because I think it's so interesting. Oh, no, wait, I want to go back to appendix before we move on from that. So wait, appendix cancer. And is the treatment, they just take it out, but like, is the risk that it can just like any cancer just spreads before they actually catch it?
Yeah, if you catch it early before it's spread anywhere else, like, good for you, bonus. But if you don't, it's part of the GI cancers. So when you look at the study, they talk about the rise in GI cancers. But the big GI cancer, your appendix is part of your bowels. So the big cancer that was rising was the appendix cancer, but also bile duct and pancreas cancer were rising at alarming rates. So what's going on between your mouth and your butt that is causing these things to happen in young people? We need more information.
Well, we definitely need, my inclination is to blame how much processed food like is offered to us and the ingredients in the food that we are eating, at least the convenient food that we are eating.
Is that your gut feeling?
That is my gut feeling. Good pun. You missed our, yesterday was National Tell a Joke Day. So we got a lot of good jokes yesterday, but we're going to try to figure out a way to make that a recurring segment. And before we move on from appendix, it sounds like Tom from Cedarburg is on the phone and has another question about the appendix.
Good morning, Tom.
Hi, ladies. I just want to say I hope that your segment's going to be an hour now and not just a half hour.
Oh.
But my question is, I had talked to my aunt yesterday. My dad is gone now, but his sister is still living. She's 87. And she was saying that some more people in my bloodline on that side had appendicitis. And also, I know my dad's mom and my mom's mom almost died of gallbladder issues. One burst, and my mom's mom and my dad's mom had a really tough surgery back in like the 40s and stuff. But my gallbladder's out now too. But I'm wondering, you know, how that would affect me with the appendicitis and other relatives.
I think that brings up a really important point, Tom, which is it's really necessary to know your family history, because if there's a cancer present for some of these things like gallbladder, it can often just be like an infection. And if an infection brews and causes a gallbladder to actually burst, then that infection can get all throughout your body and it can cause sepsis and really, really bad sickness. But if there's a cancer there, then it's worthwhile to look and see, is there a pattern there? And is that cancer potentially related to other cancers in your family? And talking with a genetic counselor is a really helpful way to look at that pedigree and then maybe even get some blood work and look at your DNA to see what are your specific risk factors. This can be a very helpful tool as you make important decisions about your lifestyle, but also as you're thinking about how to approach screening for certain cancers in the future.
Thanks for the advice.
Thanks for the call, Tom. Absolutely. Thanks for the question.
Can I say one last thing about the appendix? As much as I hate to be critical, is that not a design flaw to have an organ that does nothing? I'm just saying.
But at one time, did it something? Is that what the evolutionary biologists think? That at one point it was helpful, and then it's still there, but we've just stopped being useful.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I have no idea. I don't have one. Raise your hand if you have an appendix.
Oh, you don't have an appendix?
When I was five, my mom was terrified. If you can imagine a five-year-old.
Oh, my.
Like, losing her, not very happy. And I remember, my distinct memory from getting my appendix out is we were at the emergency room, and I was scared of going into surgery. And I think I started to lie. I'm like, I'm just feeling better. I think I'm feeling better. I think we can just go. And someone did, like, I think that either the nurse or whoever like put, like just like hovered their hand over my stomach. And I just like screamed. They're like, all right, we got to go.
Nice try though. That was good.
All right. So moving on, I'd love to get, I'm sure it is your opinion as your medical opinion, but I think about this a lot as far as how often obesity and being overweight comes up in an indicating factor for so many different things, and why, like last week, we ended up not getting to talk about the Wegovy and Ozempic and stuff, and like the balance between fat phobia and all of these things where we can point at people who we deem to be overweight and say, you're not healthy. But then there are also people who are bigger, who are way healthier than I am. And so like when we talk about obesity, what is a inclusive way to talk about it that takes into consideration that if you're eating well, you're exercising, but you're still a size 12, 14, 16, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are, or does it? I don't know.
I think this is a really hard topic that we are not good at talking about. You know, by 2030, 50% of our population will fit into that category of obesity, which just means that your BMI is over 30. And we know that BMI, you alluded to this earlier, BMI is not actually a great indicator of how healthy you are. There are better ways to do it, but BMI is just simple because it's just a ratio of your height and your weight. But if we actually could like look at what is the fat composition of your body, what is the muscle and bone composition of your body, that would be a much more accurate way to determine how healthy someone is. But when it comes to talking about obesity, it's complicated. And, you know, in between live episodes here, we were chatting a little bit about Lizzo.
Granted, take away her recent controversy of what's happening, but I challenge anyone to perform the way Lizzo does and sing and play the flute and dance for a 2.5 hour show multiple nights a week and tell me, yes, she's not healthy. And you can get up and do that, I'm sure. And so, like, it's hard for me to imagine that, like, you can say both, like, both things can be true. Like, you can be that big and still be in really good shape.
It's so hard. And she has struggled with her weight. I don't know if you've ever heard her talk about when she was in high school and she would be on all these fad diets and really had a body image issue. So when I think of Lizzo, I think about body positivity and everything that you're talking about. She is very active. But the truth, when you look at the raw data, is she's still at risk for blood pressure problems and diabetes and cancers, just because her BMI is likely over 30. So it's associations, and that's like the big public health, population health level. But when you are talking about your own individual health, you have to look at things like what Tom called about. What is my family? What is my genetic composition? What are my personal risk factors? What kind of a body do I have? I remember being a teenager, and Kristen, I know you were like this, and Jane, I would be surprised if you weren't. I remember looking at supermodels and thinking, I could totally have that body if I just worked out better and if I was smarter and ate like less Doritos, fewer Doritos. But, you know, the truth is my body is different than Gisele Bündchen's body, is different than Lizzo's body. We all have different bodies. So being able to be honest with ourselves, positive, but also adopt those healthy habits where we're eating a healthy diet with fewer processed foods in appropriate quantities, where we're getting appropriate exercise, not just burning calories, but the strength training, the weightlifting that maybe doesn't give you the big calorie burn, but gives you the skeleton strength, the structural strength to continue to be healthy long into old age. That is something that we are really bad in our messaging about. We need to do a better job of promoting health and instead of just fighting disease.
Yeah. Or just obtaining thinness.
Well, right. And it's about, it's about maintaining realistic expectations as well. You're both very tall ladies. I'm 5'4".
You did look like a peanut in that picture that we posted.
I'm sure. I look like a munchkin. But, you know, I'm never going to be a 5'9", 112 redheaded supermodel with emerald eyes. It's just not going to happen.
Me either.
Well, and I think about this a lot because, like you said, like I'm 5'10", my dad's 6'8", and is a beanpole. I'm basically, and like I've been really lucky through this pregnancy. Like I'm not uncomfortably large and stuff. And I think I'm attributing that to being tall, so she has more room to spread out. But you know, but I am the first one to admit that like I'm not working out as much as I should, and so but like I have the luxury of that in our culture. We've said, well, just because you look thin, so you must be healthy. But it's like, I don't have to work that hard to stay this thin compared to a lot of other people. So does that inherently make me healthier just because that's the genetic lottery?
In part, yes.
Oh, that's so unfair. I mean, not for me. That's lucky for me. But you know what I'm saying? Like, so that's basically what you're saying, that even you can do all the right things, but you have to work that much harder if you're just predetermined to have a bigger body.
Yeah. Well, it's like having a cancer gene. I mean, if you have like a BRCA gene, which puts you at risk for developing breast cancer, maybe ovarian cancer, those are your genes. So all you can do is educate yourself, know about it so that you get the right screening and you know what to look for. So if something does pop up, you can treat it right away.
That's a good way to put it. All right. Well, I want to end on this because it's partially funny, but also could be fascinating. A pig kidney implanted into a human body is still working after a month. This is fascinating to me.
And there's so much in that headline.
I know, we only have 2 minutes, but what is your takeaway from the fact that basically into a man who probably, I'm assuming, donated his body to science, he's brain dead, but still alive, his body's still functioning, and they implanted a pig kidney into him. Thoughts?
I think it's fascinating. So we've done this xenotransplantation kind of a lot, just trying to figure out how can we use animal parts to treat our failing human parts. And it's always kind of failed, in part because of immune issues, but also because ethically, it's really kind of a challenging thing to do. So in this situation, this is a man who died of brain cancer, and they took out his kidneys and the family donated his body, and they put in the pig's kidney as well as the pig's thymus, which is a critical part of the immune system. And I mean, it's functioning. So there's potential for this in the future, but we need to continue to have organ donors, cadaver donors. Folks, when you're thinking about your post-life plans, those are really important things to think about. Donorregistry.wisconsin.gov.
All right. Did leave enough time for that one, but Dr. Lyerly, so much fun. We'll see you again next week. This has been Public Service Announcement on As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. It's fun because sometimes the conversation, we were not planning to talk about the obesity thing.
No.
With Dr. Lyerly.
And we then never know just, where it's going to go sometimes.
And then you just, the beauty of live radio.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I will be gone tomorrow.
Yes.
And we're not, will not be a replay. Jane's gonna be in the big chair.
Yeah, and Greg Bach will be producing. Todd Alba is going to join us for our civic media crossover from 10:30 to 11. And then we are going to be talking to a bird expert about the, if I'm saying this correctly, the roseate spoonbill that was spotted unexpectedly near Green Bay a couple of weeks ago.
Wait, is this like a seagull associated?
Listen tomorrow.
All right. You have to listen what kind of bird
this rare bird and what makes it so unique. And I just know that when I told Greg about it, he was like, we're going to talk about what? And I said, remember when we talked to the DNR about the tree roots that can punch through your house? And it turned out to be a really interesting conversation.
He probably didn't listen to that one.
Oh, well.
Well, I remember it, though.
It was good.
Yeah. So you will be here so that we'll have a live show tomorrow. But I am off because Mike is getting back surgery tomorrow. And as a good wife, I am going to be at the hospital. Probably getting work done.
4 hours.
And you know, you're knock on wood that is just sitting there and is uneventful. And then I can go see him come out of his anesthesia and he'll get some funny videos of him being ridiculous.
You're not really going to do that to him, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're going to video? Kidding me?
When my dad came out of his neck surgery, it was some of the funniest. We've never laughed so hard. And he laughed about it later, too. He kept, like, reaching for the air. No, I forgot. There was something he was reaching for that he was trying to, like, turn on the TV. But I think he was using his bed thing. And he was really funny when he first woke up. And so Mike has a good enough sense of humor. He'll want to see it afterwards.
Oh, wow. That is my worst nightmare.
But he is excited. It's a lower, he found out this week that it's the same surgery that Tiger Woods had in 2019. And then he won the Masters the following year.
Look at that.
So Mike's feeling like he'll be able, you know, maybe train for the Olympics post surgery at, you know, the ripe age of 40. But yeah, so I will be there helping him out tomorrow. And so thank you for covering for me.
Absolutely. It's a little warm up for when you're on maternity leave.
Yeah, I know. Are you getting ready for that?
I'm a little nervous. I don't want to crash the ship while you're
gone. What are you the most nervous about?
Sounding intelligent.
Do you don't think you sound intelligent on the show now?
There are days when I think I fake it better than others.
But I also feel like you're doing lots of different things while also adding to the show. Like, you're answering the phone, you're finding music, you're making sure we're getting in and out. Like, are you excited at all to not have to worry about that stuff and just have to worry about talking?
It will be different.
Okay.
That's for sure. But I'm also having, this is so silly, I'm having loss of control issues because I won't be producing And I've told
you to trust Greg to touch the buttons.
No, I'm not worried about him running the board. It's like, but I wanted a different song.
Oh.
And I would have used this song. And and also, and I've mentioned this on the air before, since I have become a producer, I have become slightly power mad because I control everyone's volume. So if I don't want to hear you, I turn you off. It's the ultimate power,
it
Kristen.
Is.
Bwah-ha, bwah-ha-ha-ha-ha.
There, and you have a lot less power over here.
I know.
Because there is no board.
I know.
So, and you're just, you'll be dependent on him.
I know.
It's a weird feeling, right?
Yes. You have to trust.
How are you like, with you? How is your trust levels?
I'm fine.
When's the last time you did a trust fall?
Oh, God, never. I wouldn't trust anyone to catch me. Are you nuts? No, I'm kidding. It'll just be different. And I'm kidding Greg as well. I know he's going to do a great job. And then while you're on maternity leave, we're going to have some rotating co-hosts.
I know. So what's the lineup so far that you've set up for? So unless baby comes early, this is starting September. Let me make sure the date. September 25th is my first day gone, unless kid gets here early. So what have you started to line up for that?
Todd Alba will be joining me for the first hour on Mondays.
Okay.
The one and only Dominic Salvia will be here for the whole show on Tuesdays. And we're still going to have Dan Schaefer when he's available to join us on Tuesdays. Wednesday will be Greg Bach and I.
Nice.
On Thursdays, also flying solo for right now. And then Carol Kane. The one and only Carol Kane is going to be joining me every Friday while you're gone. And I know that Maggie Dawn wants to join us on some of those Fridays.
On some
Fridays
of those Fridays.
Well. Yeah.
That is, that would be quite the, I don't know who's, how are you guys going to talk? I feel like you're going to talk over each other. The three of you in a room together. That will be really fun shows.
It will
shows.
Be interesting. It will be very estrogen heavy, but I think it'll be a lot of fun.
I mean, this show's already estrogen heavy, isn't it?
That's true.
Well, I'm really excited to get Carol on here because, you know, especially the two of you together, as far as the longevity of Southeastern Wisconsin radio legends.
We've both been around a long time. We're not dead yet.
Not dead yet. That's what you should call it. Every Friday, just have it. Have Fancy Brian make an intro that says not dead yet.
I am absolutely into that.
And that's the Friday show is As Goes Wisconsin presents Not Dead Yet with Jane and Carol.
Carol and I have always laughed about radio legends, and essentially a radio legend just means you're not dead yet. So I think we will jump on that. And Fridays with Jane and Carol, we're not dead.
There you go.
I love it.
We nailed it.
I love it.
We nailed it. All right. Well, thank you to Dr. Lyerly, as always, for joining us today. And thank you for the callers.
All the texts
today. But
and can I throw in one thing about the text line, too? If you ever want me to respond to the text line, you have to subscribe. I don't know why this is, but I cannot respond to your texts.
Do we know how they subscribe? That's interesting, because you'd think if you're just texting 844, is there an option?
You would be able to, but I can't respond to everything. So it's not like I'm ignoring you. I don't have this available to me.
Yeah. So we'll try to figure that out. But yeah, when you text 844-967-2789, we do see all of them, even the mean ones. And then also when you, but you can also download the app if you have not done that yet, the Civic Media app in either in your app store, wherever you find it. You can get all of the Civic Media stations when you download that. But then you can also call and text and email.
Directly
from the app.
It's pretty slick.
To each station, and it gets funneled to the correct show because obviously there's multiple shows going on during the day. But so if you've not done that yet, definitely do that. If you missed any part of today's show, go back and listen to the podcast. You can find that on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get podcasts. You can also find that. And the show notes always on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen. We have stuff from yesterday. But yeah, so it's kind of a long weekend, but I will be playing nurse, so it's not really a long weekend.
All the best to Michael's surgery.
Yes, so we will be back. I will be back on Monday. Tune in tomorrow for Greg and Jane. And this has been As Goes Wisconsin. I don't feel like doing anything.